Bit past 7:08 in the morning. You're listening to Upfront. I'm Brian Edwards Tiekert. I have two big blind spots when it comes to current events. One of them is sports, and one is pop music. And they are both converging into a big news event this weekend. That's going to be the halftime performance at the Super Bowl by Bad Bunny. So I am going to hand off today's program to someone else, Laura Privis, currently fundraising manager at KPFA, many years ago the founding producer of this program. Here's her interview with two authors of a book about the politics of Bad Bunny.
El pueblo no aguanta más injusticia. Se cansó de tus mentiras y de que manipulen las noticias. Ey, ey, todos los combos, los caseríos, somos nuestra milicia. Ya no nos coges de pendejo. Eres un corrupto que de corrupto.
Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio. This is the name of the most streamed music artist in the world right now, Bad Bunny. He's a Puerto Rican reggaeton artist who is the first to reach number one on the Billboard charts with an all-in-Spanish record. He's hosted Saturday Night Live a bunch of times and won a slew of Grammys. He has also been active in political struggles. In 2019, Bad Bunny left his tour in Europe to go back to Puerto Rico to participate in protests against the then-governor Ricardo Rosselló. He wrote a song with other Puerto Rican artists that protesters sang in the streets that helped to oust Rosselló from power. Earlier this year, he decided not to tour the United States to avoid ICE coming to his concerts and instead did a residency of concerts in Puerto Rico over the summer. His latest album, Debí Tirar Más Fotos, which just won Best Album of the Year at the Grammys, blends reggaeton with the music of Puerto Rico, bomba, plena, and salsa. Bad Bunny was a regular Puerto Rican kid whose music went viral on SoundCloud and has since become a global phenomenon. Bad Bunny has used his platform to wield political power and to celebrate the music and culture of Puerto Rico. And he's now about to headline the Super Bowl halftime show this year at the top of his game at 31 years old. To talk about Bad Bunny and his meteoric rise to global fame and his commitment to the struggles of the Puerto Rican people, we are joined by two guests, Vanessa Diaz and Petra Rivera Rideau. The title of their new book about Bad Bunny is an acronym, PFKNR, which is short for Puerto Effing Rico, how Bad Bunny became the global voice of Puerto Rican resistance. Vanessa Diaz is Associate Professor of Chicana and Latina Studies at Loyola Marymount University, and Petra Rivera Rideau is Associate Professor of American Studies at Wesley College. Welcome to KPFA, Vanessa Diaz and Petra Rivera Rideau.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
I don't know about you all, but I was really shocked when I heard that Bad Bunny was going to headline the Super Bowl. The National Football League, I would think, is a fairly conservative American institution. And here is Bad Bunny, who's a mostly Spanish language artist. Just doesn't seem like something that the NFL would ever come up with. So I just wanted to hear, like, what your reaction was when you heard that Bad Bunny was headlining the Super Bowl and also just the significance of this moment. Petra, why don't you take this one first and then Vanessa?
So like you, I was also surprised in that obviously having a Spanish-speaking Super Bowl halftime show headliner was going to be, you know, a hot button issue in this moment of, you know, ICE activity, anti-immigrant sentiment, etc. So on the other hand, I was not surprised because Bad Bunny is the biggest global pop star of the moment. I mean, he's the most streamed artist in 2025. His album, Debí Tirar Más Fotos, did incredibly well. He's been all over the place. You know, the residency was incredibly impactful and received a lot of attention. So he's also nominated for Album of the Year, Song of the Year, and Record of the Year at the Grammys. on February 1st. So, I mean, he's had a banner year, and so it makes quite a lot of sense in that respect. And also, because the NFL is, you know, doing things like playing games in Europe and playing games in Brazil and sort of trying to expand its audience globally, it also makes a lot of business sense, I think, for the NFL to pick someone who is enormously popular around the world.
Yeah, and I think, like, to your point, that it may be a surprising choice for NFL, but we also have to remember that NFL, I think, very wisely works with Roc Nation and Apple Music, who really kind of cultivate who the artists are going to be and how the halftime show runs. And so even if NFL is a kind of, you know, seen as a older conservative organization, kind of relies on these other partners to help pick who's going to do the Super Bowl halftime show. And I think there's these contradictions, right? On the one hand, we know that NFL has a history of silencing protests, obviously famously silencing someone like Colin Kaepernick for taking a knee during the national anthem. Recently, they fined Aziz Alshaer for wearing Stop the Genocide on tape across his nose. And so it feels contradictory to have these protests silenced on the one hand and then having someone like Bad Bunny on the other hand, whose music is protest in all of these really important ways we can talk about. But I think, to Petra's point, that this is kind of this contradictory nature is really what happens when the massive popularity of someone like Bad Bunny really kind of makes it impossible to not consider him. He's like the biggest star in terms of music. And so on the one hand, it's contradictory to silence protest and then platform protest. And on the other hand, it's a really smart business decision because Bad Bunny is going to bring the views. He obviously, the ads sold out in record time. So this was a really calculated and purposeful business decision. And it just happens to also carry with it a lot of other political significance in this moment.
Well, a major premise of your book is really putting Bad Bunny into the context of the struggle of colonization of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico as a territory of the U.S., which has never become a state like Alaska or Hawaii, and Puerto Ricans who are U.S. citizens but can't vote in presidential elections and don't have any voting representation in Congress. Can you talk about the Puerto Rico that Bad Bunny was born into? Vanessa, do you want to take this?
Sure. Yeah. So Bad Bunny is born at a time when Puerto Rico is experiencing the effects of various tax changes that make it so that, in fact, a lot of businesses that were receiving tax benefits for being in Puerto Rico are now in the process of leaving the island. And so it begins to really impact the average Puerto Rican family because many people are losing jobs as a result. And this trickle-down effect, right? Like, it might seem like, okay, well, a tax code is changing. How does that make it so that every single Puerto Rican family might start to feel these things? But what starts to happen is that because many Puerto Ricans are losing their jobs, it starts to impact daily life on the island in ways that contribute to the kind of perpetual state of protest and resistance in Puerto Rico. And this is a time when we get kind of the beginnings of what become the debt crisis, right? Like, the debt crisis comes to a head in 2015, right before Bad Bunny is really stepping onto the scene. But throughout his childhood, as a result of these sort of changing benefits to businesses in Puerto Rico, Bad Bunny's entire youth is really marked by the evolution of this economic situation as a result of its colonial relationship to the U.S. Petra, do you want to add?
I think it's important to note too, right? Like, that the debt crisis comes to a head in 2016, but as Vanessa just said, when these tax policies change in the mid 1990s, that really like amplifies things. But the debt, Puerto Rican economy already was really suffering you know, so the United States takes over Puerto Rico in 1898 from Spain, and the economic kind of structure of Puerto Rico is just intimately tied to the United States in every kind of way. And so it's kind of at the whims of U.S. politics and U.S. priorities. So that's, so it comes to a head in his childhood years, but it's something that's been happening for a long time. And I would also say that the thing with Bad Bunny, right, releasing his first song in 2016, on like that gets him really noticed by record companies. As Vanessa noted, you know, with this debt crisis, there's like a lot of austerity measures, right? So he's at a university at the time when the university budget is just getting completely decimated. His mother is a teacher at a time when teachers are just losing their jobs. We see schools closing, hospitals closing, people losing their retirement benefits. I mean, it's a sort of like a really devastating. And part of that is because Puerto Rico has to borrow money to fund itself from American banks and hedge funds and is required to pay them back before it pays for anything else. And so it just compounds in this really dramatic way.
I think it's also important to just note that every single person who is Puerto Rican, who was born in Puerto Rico, they are subjects of direct colonialism. So yeah, even if the Puerto Rican household is a mixed household, and when I say that, I mean, maybe someone believes in statehood, maybe someone believes in existing in the Commonwealth status, which is the current status, which is really another name for colony, or maybe someone in the household believes in independence. It's really common in Puerto Rico to have a mixed household. Bad Bunny himself has said that he grew up in a household that supported statehood, right? But the reality is that despite all of those things, people there are experiencing direct colonialism every day. So he was born at a time where one tax code is changing, and throughout his youth, that evolves, right? In 2019, we have Acts 20 and 21 condense into Act 60, which is a new set of benefits for wealthy investors and business owners to live in Puerto Rico. And he has music that directly addresses that. And my point in explaining that is that his music comes from a long line of histories of resistance. And regardless of the status of your family and what they believe in, the reality is that protest and resistance in Puerto Rico is a part of its culture and always has been, literally since the beginning of colonialism. And so regardless of your political leanings, you're exposed to it, you're influenced by it, and it's really a part of Puerto Rican culture. And we see that in Bad Bunny's music.
Yeah, and let's talk about the Bad Bunny's participation in the protest in 2019, calling for the resignation of the governor. This was after Hurricane Maria hit.
So in the summer of 2019, we see some of the most historic protests in the history of Puerto Rico to oust then-Governor Ricardo Rosselló. And this is, as you mentioned, you know, Hurricane Maria hits in 2017. So right after all of this economic stuff comes to a head, then you have Maria totally devastated the island, destroyed the infrastructure. People were without power for a year. Thousands of people died as a result of the hurricane and its aftermath. It was like a completely botched response by the federal government and also by Rosselló's government. At the same time, Rosselló was somebody who promoted a tremendous amount of austerity measures. These hundreds of public schools closed under his watch. He's also the son of a former governor, Pedro Rosselló, whose administration was one of the most corrupt administrations in Puerto Rico. So, you know, there's a long history there of Ricardo Rosselló, people's dissatisfaction with him. And then in July of 2019, some private chats between Rosselló and his buddy comes out, and they are just horrible, you know, incredibly misogynistic, incredibly homophobic, incredibly racist, mocking the dead of Hurricane Maria. I mean, just like one of the quotes from our book is someone said, you know, no one was left unoffended by Rosselló's chats. That's mm-hmm. how bad they were. So that becomes the straw that breaks the camel's back. And Puerto Ricans flood the streets. Thousands and thousands of Puerto Ricans are in San Juan from all walks of life protesting the administration and asking for Rosselló to resign. And during this time, Bad Bunny is on tour, and he chooses to leave his tour to participate in the protests and calls on other Puerto Ricans, you know, in using his social media platforms. And because remember, you know, he's very young, right? He was, I guess he would have been like about 23 or 24 when these protests happened. So he joins the protest along with a lot of other artists, most notably Residente and Ile. And the three of them make a song called Afilando los Cuchillos, or Sharpening the Knives.
Dale, estamos afilando las navajas, dale. Llegó el afilador de navajas.
Truco.
They rapidly make this song overnight. It's a searing critique of Rosselló, also calling for his resignation.
Llegó la hora de un combo de miles en motora, patrullando las 24 horas, boricua de cora, con el puño arriba a la conquista. No nos vamos.
They release it for free on YouTube, and it becomes like an anthem of the protests. And so some of the most iconic images of those protests are of Bad Bunny standing atop a truck with a Puerto Rican flag. And, you know, he participated over several days. And we talk about it in the book. Not only is it this, like, really important moment, as you mentioned, for him to be seen as this kind of political figure, but I think it's also a really important moment where he sort of describes that he is interested in doing these things because he is a concerned citizen, right? He's not doing it because he wants to get, you know, all the publicity. At the same time, his presence and the other artists there makes a lot of news outlets take notice. And so you see pieces in places like Rolling Stone doing in-depth coverage of these protests. So it's really, really significant.
And I think Petra covered so much. I just want to add, because this is something that emerges later in his work as we sort of get more clarity around where he's at politically, even if he doesn't consider himself an activist, which is fine. The images, the striking images of him at the protest standing atop the truck with the flag, is that he has the Puerto Rican flag with the light blue, right, which is widely recognized as the Puerto Rican independence flag. And so as he's evolved, right, we see, I mean, these beautiful images of him hugging the flag, right? And if you're Puerto Rican and you understand the history of the flag, which includes the history of the gag law, during which it was illegal to so much as even have a Puerto Rican flag. Now, in the song La Mudanza, he's referencing that law specifically in his song when he says, people were killed here for having the flag. And in the video, he's running with the light blue flag. And in the song, he references the light blue flag, which again, so we get the beginnings of this early in his career. 2019 is a pivotal moment. And as his career has evolved, we've just continued to see the refining of where he stands politically, but always through his music. And that's part of what makes him such an important symbol of resistance, specifically through his art. He's not saying I'm an activist. He's not saying I want to be governor. He's showing us in his artwork. And he's really been doing that in different ways throughout his career. That's what our book really shows, is like, okay, now we see him as this artist who's very clearly political. And in fact, even though that's evolved naturally because he's grown up and he's learned more, and so everything has gotten more pointed, but he has really had a political stance since the beginning. And it's been really incredible to see that get increasingly clear and pointed around his support for Puerto Rico and specifically independence.
Yeah, that's something as a non-Puerto Rican person going to Puerto Rican festivals originally, everybody wearing the Puerto Rican flag. I was like, why is everybody, you know, decked out in the Puerto Rican flag? I didn't know that at one point the flag had been banned and people were actually killed for having a flag and put in prison. So part of Puerto Rican culture that maybe people from the outside don't really understand or know about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's part of the reason the idea of him taking the stage is already really political, right? Because of what he has stood for, what he stands for, and the fact that the presence of a Puerto Rican who does the kind of work he does is already a really powerful political statement.
I've been speaking to Vanessa Diaz, Associate Professor of Chicana and Latina Studies at Loyola Marymount University, and Petra Rivera Rideau, Associate Professor of American Studies at Wesley College. They are the co-authors together of a new book on Bad Bunny, PFKNR, How Bad Bunny Became the Global Voice of Puerto Rican Resistance.
That's the voice of KPFA's Laura Privis, who's hosting this hour's interview. Among the many, many titles she's held at KPFA, she was founding producer of this program, Upfront. Puerto Rican artist Bad Bunny is headlining the halftime show at the Super Bowl this weekend. Let's go back to the interview.
My name's Laura Privis, and I'm speaking with Vanessa Diaz and Petra Rivera Rideau about their book, PFKNR, How Bad Bunny Became the Global Voice of Puerto Rican Resistance. So I'll let swerve into another area where he's kind of unique and innovative, and that's gender. He has pushed the envelope as far as how he expresses himself. I mean, he has said that he's heterosexual, but maybe that might not be the case forever. There's the song Caro.
Yeah, well, Petra and I, Caro is a song that is near and dear to our hearts. We talk about it at length. One of our chapters is named after it, Por qué no puedo ser así, which is like, why can't I be how I am, basically. And both Petra and I have been using that song in our teaching since long before the Bad Bunny course existed, the syllabus, or our book. And this song is incredibly important for a variety of reasons. But as you pointed out, he is someone who has always really presented himself in a very non-conforming way, which regardless of how someone chooses to sort of date, right? Like regardless of who they're dating, the way that they actually carry themselves, especially for someone with the kind of platform that Bad Bunny has, is really significant. And what he has done is that in a genre like Latin trap and reggaeton that's hyper masculine and has, you know, rightfully received critiques for that, he was this kind of completely other thing where, you know, he was, there was a lot of commentary on him early on for wearing short shorts, for painting his nails, for wearing skirts, for just kind of being kind of out there in the presentation of self. And so the song Caro is really one that is about being prideful in who you are, of understanding your own value. Caro means expensive, right? And it's like understanding that I have worth and that doesn't change based on how I might present myself or who I might love. And so in the video, we get this story through the portrayal of lots of different kinds of people on a runway, for example. The whole premise of the video is him and Jasmine Joy, who's a Puerto Rican model and actress, where she's playing him. You know, she's this kind of like androgynous figure playing him and kind of really playing with this idea of not just sort of gender nonconformity, but the fluidity of gender, and that really it shouldn't matter, right? None of these things should matter. What should matter is kind of who we are, that we take pride in ourselves. Petra, do you want to maybe share the bit about Ricky Martin that's really significant here?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that happens in that video and also in the song, right? There is a cameo by Ricky Martin in this interlude where he sings the line that Vanessa mentioned, you know. Why can't I be who I am? essentially saying, like, why does my being bother you so much? What, how am I hurting you by being who I am? And he's duetting with Ricky Martin. And in the music video, you see Bad Bunny in like a silhouette and all of these people running by him. And he gets kissed by a woman on the cheek and also by a man on the cheek. And this is a small moment, but it's really important. And in our book, we talk a lot about Ricky Martin as an important figure that helped pave the way for Bad Bunny in terms of gender representation and gender politics. So many people are familiar with Ricky Martin from his like Living La Vida Loca days when he crossed over into the United States. And he is probably one of the biggest global pop stars from Puerto Rico ever, right? And he came out in 2010. And that was, I remember when he came out because my friends in the United States were like, kind of joking about it, like, oh, ha ha ha, we all knew this already. But within the context of Puerto Rico, it was a huge thing to have one of their biggest superstars come out, because there's so much violence and discrimination against queer communities within Puerto Rico. And so to align himself with Ricky Martin in that early part of his career, particularly given that Bad Bunny sings reggaeton and Latin trap, which are understood to be very hyper-masculine genres, that was a really profound moment. And then he's just continued with that throughout his career. So, I mean, one other music video I wanted to mention that comes a little bit later is for his song Yo Perreo Sola. And in this music video, which comes out in 2020, he performs in complete drag. And again, coming from a genre that is incredibly hyper-masculine, coming from a country that has a really horrible track record of violence against queer communities, having him perform in drag in this music video was incredibly significant. And, you know, in addition to his own performance, the last thing I'd like to mention that we talk about in our book is, you know, we now have some queer artists in this realm, like Young Miko, who's a lesbian rapper, is incredibly popular, or Viano Antillano, who's a trans woman rapper coming out of Puerto Rico. And Bad Bunny has championed them from early times in his career. And so in the book, we show how not only in his performance, but also by embracing and uplifting other queer artists, you actually see spikes in the consumption of their music on different streaming platforms. And so he plays a major role in their careers. And to the point where Young Miko, who is now, you know, one of the biggest stars in this genre, has publicly just thanked him for all that he has done for her. So this is something that's, I think, really important and significant, just as significant as a lot of his sort of, more what people might consider more typical politics, advocating for different things around the status of Puerto Rico or state policies as well.
Yeah, and let's also talk about, in your book, you focus a lot on pareo and the dance, that's the, basically the dance of reggaeton, and how that has become an element of protest.
Yeah. So in the context of the 2019 protests, right, one of the amazing thing about those protests is that protests took tons of different forms. Puerto Ricans are incredibly innovative in their protests. There was motorcycle like protests. There was yoga protests. There was all these different kinds of protests, lots of different music incorporated into them. And one of the things that became really iconic from the protests was the use of perreo as protest, and specifically mostly young queer folks who were gathering in what they were calling perreo combativo, or like a perreo kind of like competition battle type of energy. And one of the most famous ones took place on the steps of the very historic, famous cathedral in Old San Juan, just steps down from the governor's mansion. And so the use of perreo as something, as a form of resistance in this moment, dance as a form of resistance, also links not just the histories where perreo brings with it this history of like kind of pushing back on the targeting of reggaeton, but dance as resistance in Puerto Rico throughout its history, from, you know, bomba, which is a form of dance that was used by enslaved people as a form of protest, but also as a form of joy, which it's a music and a dance that go together, where the music and the dancers feed off of each other. It's this very dynamic exchange. And so that tradition of using these art forms as resistance, of being really creative in your protests, comes from all of these really complicated histories in Puerto Rico, literally from the time of colonization, enslavement, to the targeting of reggaeton, which ultimately was a targeting of poor, darker skinned Puerto Ricans. And so these tools are tools that Puerto Ricans have had for the entirety of its history. And so, you know, this is basically the continuation of this line. And it was really incredible to see that as part of the protests in 2019 and really, really bring together the magnificent ways that Puerto Rican people can protest. And I think it's something that Puerto Ricans have a lot of pride in. And I think we also see that in Bad Bunny's work all the time.
Speaking of Bamba and Plena, Bad Bunny's latest album, Debí Tirar Más Fotos, or I Should Have Taken More Photographs. It's a celebration of so many forms of Puerto Rican music mixed in with reggaeton. This is Bad Bunny again breaking brown, as he did in his residency this summer, this series of concerts in Puerto Rico, uplifting other artists onto the world stage that he has.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this last album continues what Petra spoke to when she talked about the artist Young Miko, for example. So he didn't just uplift Young Miko, he also brought her in to do a track for his album Nadie Sabe Lo Que Va a Pasar Mañana, right? And in Debí Tirar Más Fotos, we see the continuation of that, where he is laser focused on the growth of Puerto Rico. He is laser focused on mentoring these artists in the same way that I think he was mentored by artists like Residente. And we see that in Debí Tirar Más Fotos. That album, it's an album about like sadness and loss and fear of losing. It's also an album of joy and hope. And I think that a lot of that hope comes from the presence of these younger artists who are doing amazing things, and he wants to celebrate, right? The inclusion of groups like Chuy, Los Pleneros de la Cresta. A lot of the musicians on that album are from this group that's now known as Los Sobrinos, and they are, you know, students and recent graduates from Puerto Rico's public music schools, and they were brought into the project, and they've kind of turned into their whole own thing. And so I think that the album is really this investment in the future of Puerto Rico, in the telling of Puerto Rico's history, and in showing the incredible integrity of young artists coming from there. And so as kind of intense as the album is, it's also really hopeful. Petra, I'm sure you have a lot to add on this as well.
I mean, I think it's also, you know, so the album as a whole has a message about the importance of maintaining and preserving Puerto Rican culture in the face of this massive wave of gentrification and displacement. So as the, you know, from the very early on in this interview, Vanessa was talking about all these tax incentives that lure wealthy Americans to Puerto Rico. The result of that has been massive gentrification, skyrocketing property costs, both in terms of rent and also purchasing property, the development of massive, super fancy homes and along the beaches, which in Puerto Rico, by law, all beaches must have public access. There's no such thing as a private beach. And also displacement, right? So the result of, in addition to all this gentrification, the result of the devastation of Hurricane Maria, which afterwards was also followed up by a series of earthquakes in the southeast of Puerto Rico, and the debt crisis that we talked about before. All of those things have propelled one of the largest waves of migration of Puerto Ricans to the United States. And there are more Puerto Ricans living within the United States than there are living in Puerto Rico. I guess as a sort of like anecdote to show how this is, you know, there is a very famous tradition in Puerto Rico that when you fly and your plane lands, you clap. And when I was a child, every time I flew to Puerto Rico, everybody clapped. And the past few times I've gone to Puerto Rico, there are very few people clapping. And that seems like a small thing, but to me, it shows how few Puerto Ricans are going back. The whole vibe of the record, lyrically, the mascot of this crested toad called the sapoconcho, which is an endangered species, and it's endangered because these developments are destroying its habitat. So that sapoconcho has turned into a character that is affiliated with the album. Bad Bunny releases a short film as a teaser to the album, which is about an old man played by Jacobo Morales, who's one of the most important playwrights and actors coming out of Puerto Rico, who's currently in his 90s, and the sapoconcho going to a bakery and trying to order Puerto Rican pastries called quesitos. And, you know, it's a cashless bakery now, and the quesitos aren't good, and that he can't even communicate with the cashier, who's an American, right? All of this album is this profound meditation on this issue. And so the blend of musical traditions coming from Puerto Rico and the championing of young Puerto Rican artists that Vanessa mentioned, who are also people who are firmly committed to different social causes in Puerto Rico, whether it's like Pleneros de la Cresta, who want to maintain Plena and make sure that subsequent Puerto Rican generations know about this music, to Chuy, who is like very invested in the environmental causes around Puerto Rico and the beach access and things like that. You can also think that even at the level of the music, right, making sure these traditions stay alive and also celebrating them and saying they are worthy and they are musically important, even that, I think, is part of this bigger meditation on the devastating impacts of gentrification. And, you know, the call he has in both the record, but also that he made in his residency, right, that Puerto Ricans need to hold on and hold firm to their land, to their culture, because it's under threat by these bigger processes of displacement.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole idea that this Trump rally in New York before the election, where the comedian came out and made the joke about Puerto Rico being an island of floating trash. To me, I just think like, wow, that's like actually the complete opposite of what Puerto Rico is. It's this amazing place where the culture has survived and has been cultivated through, you know, all these centuries. The you know, indigenous people, the Taino of Puerto Rico, is part of all this music and culture that has come up. It's a place that, like, I want to go there because I'm a dancer. I want to go to a place where dance and music is, like, put as one of the most important things of the culture. That's the kind of world that I want to live in. So it's just, you know, incredible that some people think that this is something that can be just, that is worth throwing away. Really interesting also, just Bad Bunny is like a millennial, that he understands the visuals along with and how to communicate over social media. I love that the latest album has what they're calling like visualizers that go along, like something that you can look at while you're listening to a track which has so much explanation of the history of Puerto Rico. He's just a really great communicator.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think one of the things we've learned in our research, you know, in our book, we interview a lot of his collaborators, people who helped him create these songs, people who influenced him musically, people who make his music videos and things like that. You know, he's a very intentional artist. He's on an independent record label called Rimas and is given wide latitude to really have a lot of control over his image and his music and how he wants to roll something out. And it seems like every little detail is something that he has thought of and that he sort of has his hands on. And so I think that allows these albums to actually be music, but also like a more holistic kind of package with the visualizers, with the short film and all of that. And in fact, the visualizers, which is, you know, they're available on YouTube. So it's not uncommon for artists to have visualizers, because YouTube is a way that a lot of people consume their music. So you can go and you can listen to a track. And sometimes visualizers typically, sometimes they're lyric videos, sometimes they just have sort of images related to the album. But for Debí Tirar Más Fotos, Bad Bunny hired our colleague, Jorel Meléndez Vadillo, who's a very important young Puerto Rican historian currently at the University of Wisconsin, to write little kind of summaries of important things that have happened in Puerto Rican history. So even that is a profoundly important and meaningful choice, and an unusual choice, because most artists are not doing that. Even the residency, Jorel also wrote little factoids about Puerto Rican history, some of which were about, you know, this is a famous boxer or whatever, and some of which were like, you know, the Taino resisted the Spanish in the 1400s like this, that when you were sitting there waiting for the concert to begin, played across the screen. So I think this whole project for Bad Bunny is this, like I mentioned, this call to arms to protect Puerto Rico from every, like in every little detail.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I would say is that this is a really important moment where for us, obviously Bad Bunny is someone who we've been thinking about, listening to and teaching about for years. And it was always surprising to us when people didn't know who Bad Bunny was. And so as much as he's been this massive global star for years, right? He was the most streamed artist on Spotify 2020, 2021, 2022, right? So he has this, like, that was years ago already. And then he was again last year. And I think this moment with him taking stage at the Super Bowl, it's like, absolutely, he is on everyone's radar, and it doesn't matter if you're a fan or not, like, you're going to know who he is. And I think it's really important. And that's part of the point of our book, is that we're not saying he is the only kind of voice of Puerto Rican resistance, but on a global level, he is the voice of Puerto Rican resistance. And that's really important. And he has been this incredibly important part of helping the world understand what's happening in Puerto Rico. And this is a small nation that has been, right, held under colonial rule for centuries, and most people really don't understand it. So the extent to which he has put the spotlight not just on Puerto Rico, but on its history and on its struggles is something so, so, so critically valuable. And we really hope that, you know, between what people are able to listen to and consume through the Super Bowl and through his music, coupled with our book, that people can really kind of get the gravity of the moment and the gravity of him as an artist. Because what we're about to see is really going to be, I think, a moment we're going to be analyzing for a very long time, at a critically historic moment in the U.S. when Latinos and Spanish speakers and migrants and people supporting those communities are being targeted and being killed. And for him to be able to take this stage at this time with all that he represents is really, really historically and culturally significant.
Vanessa Diaz and Petra Rivera Rudeau, thank you so much for being on KPFA.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you.
I've been speaking to Vanessa Diaz, associate professor of Chicana and Latina Studies at Loyola Marymount University, and Petra Rivera-Rideau, associate professor of American Studies at Wesley College. They are the co-authors together of a new book on Bad Bunny, PFKNR, How Bad Bunny Became the Global Voice of Puerto Rican Resistance.